I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is your safe space for independent thinking, no matter who is currently in charge of our federal government here. Still call them like we see them. We'll certainly get to what transpired yesterday. Interesting times to be alive, isn't it? I saw somebody said, I should get the quote, a guy named Matt Walsh. He said, I'm a conservative and not for the new administration. I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, it is time to at least recognize the fact that we did break the glass ceiling yesterday, and that should be respected. Joe Biden is the first president to be inaugurated with full-on dementia. And that's the ceiling we broke. So anyway, we'll get to some of the new administration stuff in a little while. Next hour, we're going to have our Freedom and Prosperity Hour that we do every Thursday from 10 to 11 o'clock. We're going to talk about some Mississippi things. I'm telling you, I think this is fantastic timing to have Americans for Prosperity coming in on a weekly basis to talk about what we can do to make Mississippi better, because I think we are going to need it. So we're going to talk. Stephen Utroska is usually in, but he is working with the legislature today. And so another member of Americans for Prosperity, Nate Baker, will be in with us today. Great guy. I think I've had him on before in other contexts, but Nate's a good guy. So we'll talk about AFP's work, and they've got something called Capital Days coming up. People need to start getting involved locally. This idea that we've got a savior at the top of the food chain, I hope we have dispelled with that. There's always, with every failure comes a recognition of a failure. We need to recognize that and say, okay, well, we going to have to put the work in ourselves, it looks like. There is no cavalry coming to rescue us. So we'll talk to Nate next hour. My quotes of the day today. This is just an amazing. This is a quote by Thomas Paine. Well, we're talking 1700s here. Thomas Paine said, taxes were not raised to carry on wars. Wars were raised to carry on taxes. Same as it ever was. Another one of our founding fathers who understood that, war is a racket. And those of us who have supported wars in the past should be ashamed of ourselves, but hopefully we've clued in by now. And then this is very appropriate for what I'm going to get into first today. This is a quote from Thomas Sowell. He said, it is hard to imagine a more stupid or more dangerous way of making decisions than by putting them, than by putting those decisions in the hands of people who pay no price for being wrong. I'm going to read that one again. It'll take me into my first segment here. It is hard to imagine a more stupid or more dangerous way of making decisions than by putting those decisions in the hands of people who pay no price for being wrong. And essentially that is government, and especially when it comes to our hyperactive response to COVID-19. And I have got a clip I'm going to play for you just to say it was a jaw dropper to me, an absolute jaw dropper. Around the air quotes here in the studio, vaccine. There's an article today on Zero Hedge talking about the complete scam of the PCR test. We've talked about it here for months. If you raise the cycle threshold on a PCR test, you'll pretty much find COVID in anybody you want to find it in. Just get that cycle high enough, they'll find some little broken strand of coronavirus DNA somewhere in you and then declare you a case. We haven't had a pandemic, we've had a case-demic. And the WHO came out yesterday and kind of told us this. And the idea, the thrust of the Zero Hedge article, which is, appropriate, it says, look at this. Joe Biden gets inaugurated, and suddenly the WHO comes out and says, hey, you know, we may be running these tests too high. And this is the perfect recipe for Joe Biden. And he went yesterday and pledged more money right back to the WHO. So this is a great way to start trailing off the cases in the Biden administration so he can declare some level of victory. He took over and the cases started to disappear and he solved all of our problems. I do not doubt for a second that that will take place. But again, I come at this show from a multitude of different angles than your mainstream media. While that is the obvious implication for that, the problem that I have, what is more aggravating to me even than that, is that Trump never caught wind of this. Who in the hell was advising Donald Trump? And this will set up Joe Biden for a fake win, but Donald Trump could have stopped this hysteria in its tracks. I'm some nobody Central Mississippi dude on the radio, and in August and September of last year, I was catching wind of this cycle threshold problem we were having, which was showing a bunch of false positives and inflating the case count. How is it possible that the most powerful man in the world, with all of his capable advisors and his close confidants and his family, never caught wind of this and ordered through his FDA and CDC some guidelines on testing protocols that cycle thresholds not go above 30? It has been typical in the United States for CTs, what they call cycle threshold, the CTs to be 37 to 40. Which is just a recipe for false positives and has put us in the situation we're in right now. And it is still, to this day, stunning to me. While I certainly see the political implications of trying to hand Joe Biden this win as soon as they lower the cycle thresholds under his administration, that it's going to look like the virus is magically disappearing with the Saint Joe Biden that came in. But this is another huge missed opportunity by the Trump administration. And I have been stunned for the last 6 months that he never addressed this and could have taken care of it himself. I want to see if I can get these clips to play, and I'm going to lead you into a clip that I think is an absolute jaw-dropper. There is a woman who is doing videos on TikTok. I don't do TikTok, but I ran across a couple of clips from her, so I decided to go take a look. She goes by Dr. Cat. She is an epidemiologist, and she's been doing TikTok videos. You know, nothing says good, full understanding of a disease or a vaccine or anything like that more than one-minute videos on social media. But she's been doing videos about coronavirus and the vaccine. I want to see if I can play this. I had to flip to another computer. Let me see if this is going to work. But this is Nurse Kat talking about she got the vaccine. Let's see if I can get this to play.
So I was very excited today to learn that I was on the list for vaccination tonight at my institution.
Woohoo!
I got the Pfizer vaccine, and the shot itself didn't really hurt that much, and I had to stay 15 minutes for monitoring afterward to see if I had any adverse reactions, which I did not. My next dose will be on the 29th of January, and I am just very happy and grateful to be able to have it.
Okay, she didn't say anything in that video about any, you know, she didn't designate, she's a young girl, she looks like she's probably maybe early 30s, maybe, and again, she goes by the fact that she's a doctor of epidemiology, so no qualifications in what she just said about who should or who should not get the vaccine. Here is another one where she talks about the side effects of the vaccine. Let's see if I can get this one pulled up. TikTok. My first foray into TikTok ever. Let's see here. I'm going to rewind her a little bit. All right, so she's going to talk about what she does is she's got this TikTok channel and she'll take questions. You know, I guess TikTokers can shoot a question at her, and so she does things that she calls debunking or gives information, these kinds of things. So here's another one on vaccine side effects, I believe.
The doctor who passed away after taking the Pfizer vaccine, so I want to make a couple of comments on it. So this is still being investigated, but this doctor died of a stroke, which was kind of secondary to him not having enough platelets. And there's nothing from the clinical trials that would suggest the vaccine would cause this, but it's still being investigated. So we need to understand that when we roll out a drug into the greater population, we're going to find events that happen in the general background rate of the population. Like every day people have strokes and every day people die. And these won't be always due to the vaccine or to whatever drug we're looking at. So Bell's palsy was a perfect example of this because we were worried that was linked to the vaccine. But in the real population, the incidence rate is 23 per 100,000. And in the Pfizer recipients, it was only 11 per 100,000. So, hey, Dr. Kat.
Okay, so there you go. So that's her explaining to you that, oh, this doctor's death, it's nothing. He had other problems. And look, Bell's palsy has been reported, but it's bigger in the general population anyway. So nothing to worry about. I just played a video for you where she said that she was very excited to go take her vaccine and there were no side effects. She feels great. She can't wait to get the second shot. And then she put out this TikTok where she explained, if you're not familiar, in Norway, they had 23 deaths in senior citizens pretty rapidly after they first started administering the vaccines. So Norway put a halt to it. Norway that pays attention to that kind of stuff and doesn't just believe that you just plow through these things. I want you to listen to this Dr. Kat just talk about these Norwegian deaths and her explanation for why it's not anything to worry about. This, I thought, was a jaw-dropping clip.
Hey, Dr. Kat, epidemiologist. I've had a number of people asking me about the 23 Norwegian people who passed away after they were vaccinated with an mRNA vaccine. These are being investigated by the Norwegian Medicines Association, or NOMA, and they are finished with 13 of the investigations so far, and they've concluded that these deaths were adverse reactions that are very common to the mRNA vaccines, like fever, nausea, and diarrhea, and that these would contribute to poor outcomes in people that are old and frail. And these people were all elderly and very frail with a lot of underlying severe disease. He went on to say that they are not alarmed or worried about the vaccine in younger, healthy populations, and that they are going to continue with their vaccination program in Norway as planned.
Okay, let me get this straight. This thing killed 23 senior citizens in Norway, and they've studied it. They've got through 13 of them. Their conclusion was, this looks like a side effect of the vaccine. Now, I'm going to assume that they didn't know this before they gave it out. And the reason they didn't know this is because they tested it on younger, healthy people. But now, who are they rolling it out to now? Who have we been lining up for these shots for the past month? Senior homes. Do you ever hear anybody, when you listen to a story about this, air quotes here in the studio, vaccine, do you hear anybody saying, well, we're only giving this to healthy seniors? No, they just say, get online, get your spot in line. They don't make any equivocations. I'm going to play this clip again so that maybe it really sinks in to understand that this nurse, who, again, she spent one video telling you that the vaccine was great, she's so excited to get her next ones. Now, she is young, and presumably she looks like she's healthy. And then she does another one saying, oh, don't worry about these sides. This one doctor that died, he had some other underlying conditions. That doesn't say anything about the vaccine. And now she does one that says, oh, yeah, they've been studying these deaths in Norway, and it turns out death is a side effect of this vaccine for older, frail people. How many old, frail people in the United States right now are lining up for this vaccine? Millions. Millions of them. But there's no cause for concern, I guess. I'm going to play this clip again so you can really understand the language where she doesn't make any excuses. She doesn't say, well, it turned out all of these people had cancer. They were all diabetics. They were all anything. It was just, well, yeah, we're finding out. And then she goes on to say, but they're going to continue giving this to young, healthy people. In the United States right now, this is in Norway, at least Norway's paying attention. In the United States right now, we are targeting the elderly with this medication. And I listen to a lot of mainstream news and have never heard any of them say, if you're frail and elderly, you don't get this thing. It's not safe for you. One of the side effects is death. I haven't heard that once. It is hip, hip, hooray. The vaccine is here. Everybody line up. We're heading to your nursing home next. They're complaining about the botched rollout. Not enough seniors have gotten the shot, our most vulnerable population. Now, I don't know what the death rate for true senior citizens is, maybe past 80 years old, but I would imagine it's, you know, what, 5% maybe? Maybe it's 10%. I don't know. I mean, the more frail you get, the more vulnerable you are to any disease. But I don't know that seniors would still be on board with taking a shot if they knew that in Norway they just went, oh, yeah, it definitely kills some people. I mean, yeah, didn't we tell you that? Did we forget to tell you that this actually kills older, frail senior citizens? Listen to her again. Just go, oh, they've studied it, and it just turns out it's just a side effect. It's like nausea or diarrhea or anything else. You know, it's just death.
Hey, Dr. Cat, epidemiologist, I've had a number of people asking me about the 23 Norwegian people who passed away after they were vaccinated with an mRNA vaccine. These are being investigated by the Norwegian Medicines Association, or NOMA, and they are finished with 13 of the investigations so far, and they've concluded that these deaths were adverse reactions that are very common to the mRNA vaccines.
These deaths are adverse reactions that are very common to the COVID-19 vaccine, mRNA vaccine. Well, these deaths are common side effects,
like fever, nausea, and diarrhea, and that these would contribute to poor outcomes in people that are old and frail. And these people were all elderly and very frail with a lot of underlying severe disease.
So when they showed up for the shot, did anybody from Moderna or Pfizer go, hey, you look old and frail. This might not be for you. Apparently not. They just let 23 of them die and then just came out and went, oh, yeah, that's a side effect. Did we not mention that? Did we not tell your children and your grandchildren that Nana probably won't survive this shot, but we're going to give it to her anyway? Anyone? Because I don't hear anybody in the United States talking about it. I hear everybody saying, get out there and get your shot. Sign up online. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
He went on to say that they are not alarmed or worried about the vaccine in younger, healthy populations.
Younger, healthy populations that aren't really susceptible to bad outcomes from coronavirus in the first place. As of December 18th, 2020, the adverse event rate in the U.S. on these Moderna, these shots, I will refuse to call them vaccines, these shots was 2.79%. This means your risk of harm from the vaccine is far greater than your risk of dying from COVID-19, which has an overall non-institutionalized infection fatality rate of just 0.26%. Among those under the age of 40, the infection fatality rate is a mere 0.01%. So what they're saying is, oh, this vaccine looks fine for the people whose risk of death from the disease is 0.01%, and instead you're going to give them a shot that has a 2.79% chance of an adverse reaction. I go back to my quote originally from Thomas Sowell, because we are going to really see what this is all about. Because the authorities who are rushed this vaccine, the authorities who are pumping this vaccine, the authorities that have mishandled coronavirus and our reaction to it for the last 10 months will never be held responsible. Their budgets will actually increase, and they will never come out and say they're sorry to all you people who lost your livelihoods, that were forced into poverty. They will never admit they were wrong. Thomas Sowell said, it is hard to imagine a more stupid or more dangerous way of making decisions than by putting those decisions in the hands of people who pay no price for being wrong. Truer words have not been said, and that's exactly who we've allowed to make all of the decisions for 2020 and heading into 2021. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. We'll be right back.
I went way long that first segment to play that clip. I was just stunned by it. When you got somebody come out and just saying, and the Norwegian authorities are studying the deaths of elderly people after the vaccine and just going, oh, yeah, that's a side effect. Death. It's a side effect. I just, you know, this show is about informed consent. It's not anti-vaccine. It's just about informed consent. That seems like something we should know. I was talking to a caller off air during the break, and, you know, it is difficult with senior citizens. My father is 90 years old. My stepmother is in her mid-70s. My stud dad wrangled a younger wife after my mom passed away after 40 years of marriage. Stuck with it when she passed away. My father found a young woman. Anyway, thank goodness he did. She's taking great care of him. But she was very excited about this vaccine. What do you do as a child? I would want to express a lot of caution in that. But what do you do? You got a 90-year-old father. He's in pretty good physical health. He had a brain bleed a while back, and that he's struggled with some of those things. But am I the guy that steps up and goes, Dad, don't take this vaccine? And then suddenly he gets COVID, and because he is 90 years old, he dies. And I'm that son that convinced him to not take the miracle drug. It's a very, very difficult situation to be in. I wish any senior citizen who gets this shot or anything, I wish everybody all of the best of health for as long as humanly possible. This is about informed consent. People should just know and take all of the knowledge with them to make their own decisions. That's really all I'm getting at during this show. And these big facts, the Norway situation, the nursing home in New York I covered last week, they didn't have a single COVID death in all of 2020 until December 29th, and they had three suddenly. And since then, I think they've had a dozen or two dozen more. They started vaccinating on December 22nd, 1 week before their first death. So they got through the whole COVID season of 2020 without a single death 1 week after the vaccine. It could be coincidence. Look, maybe somebody came in there and started spreading it. It may be complete coincidence. And this shot may be the miracle that unlocks health going forward. I don't know. But that's a story that people should know. It's certainly something that demands some investigation. Unfortunately, it will get none. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. And when I say joining me, I mean really joining me. I got to tell you, I woke up this morning and realized I've got a whole lot of compatriots now. I've spent about 15 years resisting the federal government, either in private or publicly, if anybody wanted to listen, or 4 years on this radio show, even during the anointed Donald Trump. I've been pointing out for 4 years, hey, this government, is anybody noticing it's getting a lot bigger? And finally, I guess today, as we wake up under a Biden administration, I popped my popcorn yesterday. I rushed to the television. I did mess up. I thought that I thought the swearing in was actually at noon. It was like at 10 o'clock or something. I guess I was on air. Didn't even realize it had happened because I was waiting to see the mass arrests on the podium. I mean, the swamp was all over the place. You had the Bushes there. You had the Clintons there. You had the Obamas there. I thought, wow, that's going to make for a great photo op when they rush in and arrest them all. Huh. Strangely enough, it didn't happen. But I missed that moment. By the time I got later in the afternoon to come to get in front of a television, I saw Joe Biden doing the walk to the White House, and I thought, well, maybe this is it. This will make for a good photo op when they rush in and arrest him. Or I thought, is this the time they go ahead and take him out and just let Kamala Harris just walk straight into the White House as president of the United States and go ahead and dispatch with this doddering old man? And that didn't happen either. But I woke up this morning to a Biden administration, and I got to say, welcome to the resistance, people. You sat back for 4 years, allowed this government to get bigger. You funded it with more money. You grew the national security state and cheered for it. And it turns out that war on terror that everybody has been so eagerly funding for the last 4 years with the fruits of your labor, cheering every Republican that came out and told you they are going to fully fund our national security state. And you, yay! Guess who it's coming from for now? Yep, it's coming for you. This is the kind of thing libertarians like myself have been warning about long before I became a libertarian. They were warning me, and I dismissed them. No, we need to build a strong national defense. We're the most powerful country in the world. Huh. And they kept saying, you know, be careful. They have a tendency, big governments have a tendency to see their own people as the enemy. Right now, it's the brown people halfway around the world, but soon it will be you. And nothing became more crystal clear than yesterday, as we listen to Joe Biden in his speech talk about the fight against domestic terrorism and white supremacy. And this was also highlighted in this clip with John Brennan. Here's just a little something funny. I'm getting it off John off a Twitter feed. And it describes John Brennan, former CIA director, 2013 through 2017, nonpartisan American. Now, a lot of people will say, oh, that's ridiculous. He was constantly attacking Trump. He's a Democrat. No, no, no. See, he's one of the elites. Parties don't matter to these people. The party stuff, that's for the suckers out in the field. They operate fully in any kind of establishment organization. And that's right what we're back to with Joe Biden here. But this is what John Brennan said yesterday, and I guess I'm in there with you.
On the call, I was thinking today that this is the most relaxed I've been in the course of many inaugurations I've watched because I'm not responsible for it. But I can tell you that when I was in the government, I had white knuckles because of the nature of the threats. But it's so much more difficult today because of what we have seen, not just over the last 2 weeks, but that certainly has riveted our attention. But because of this growth in polarization in the United States and domestic violence in white supremacist groups. So I know looking forward that the members of the Biden team who have been nominated or have been appointed are now moving in laser-like fashion to try to uncover as much as they can about what looks very similar to insurgency movements that we've seen overseas. Mm-hmm.
And a CIA director should know about insurgency movements overseas because they're the ones that fund them. And now they're doing that here.
Where they germinate in different parts of a country and they gain strength and it brings together an unholy alliance frequently of religious extremists, authoritarians, fascists, bigots, racists, nativists, even libertarians.
What? What? Wait, what? Us libertarians? So I'm here with you. I'm in the crosshairs. So there you go. Even us libertarians. Yeah, they're coming after us all. I got to tell you, I mean, rethink all that applause. All of that fawning everybody's done over, and not so much during the Trump administration, because the CIA and the FBI, you know, went after Donald Trump when he first came into office. But you've been cheering for funding these things. I remember Robert Mueller was an American hero to the conservative movement post 9/11 as FBI director, that rock jawed conservative. Oh, we just cheered for him and we just wanted to shove money at the FBI and the CIA and the military. And many of you still do. Well, now you're going to find out where they're actually going to use that money. It's not going to be pretty. This was probably the worst of all the clips yesterday. The inauguration, the fawning. Oh, it was brutal to watch. I got to tell you, this is going to be a tough 4 years. This was, of course, CNN. You may have already heard this clip. I don't even know who this jackass is, but I'll tell you Glenn Greenwald's comment on this when you listen to what he has to say.
There's still some tinkering going on with the inaugural address, but his aides have made really clear it's not like he's trying to ignore or paper over either what happened at the Capitol 2 weeks ago or what we've been through throughout 4 years of the Trump presidency. And the contrast
here it is
on display tonight was so stark. I mean, those lights that are just shooting out from the Lincoln Memorial along the reflecting pool. It's like almost extensions of Joe Biden's arms embracing America. It was a moment where the new president came to town and sort of convened the country in this moment of remembrance, outstretching his arms. And contrast that with that video you just saw.
So, it was like Joe Biden's outstretched arms, wrapping his loving arms around America and telling it's going to be okay. Glenn Greenwald. And this is why I love Glenn Greenwald and why I like a principled, rational liberal better than a talking points conservative is that Glenn Greenwald is a liberal guy, but he tells the truth. Glenn Greenwald put out a tweet. He said, not even in North Korea would you hear this kind of fawning in the mainstream media. And if you're familiar with the propaganda that comes out of the North Korean media associations, it's quite telling. You know, it's always the joke. Kim Jong-un just won the world NBA championship by himself. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that comes out of North Korea propaganda. And Glenn Greenwald points out that it's probably not even as bad there as it is right now if you watched the coverage yesterday. I got to tell you, I watched them marching, walking to the crowds of dozens. You know, COVID and all. And security and all. So they staged a few people along the parade route, and Joe Biden would shuffle over. Actually, that's disingenuous. I will always be honest on the show. He kind of jogged over to the side a couple times. I mean, for a 78-year-old man with dementia, he moves pretty well when he wants to. He'll put a little jog in there. Looks like he's pretty fit, you know, from the neck down. Looks like he's pretty fit. He would jog over and see something. There's one family somehow got in for a photo op with a couple of kids, and he jogged over there and gave them an elbow bump or whatever. But when I watched him walking to the White House yesterday with Hunter Biden. Now, see, I've not carried water for Donald Trump for 4 years. I don't like Donald Trump. I wish he had done a whole lot of different kinds of things. I voted for him, but I didn't ever fall in love with him. But boy, my heart went out to the Trump supporter yesterday who had to watch Hunter Biden. It's bad enough, Joe Biden, Jill Biden, bad enough to see Kamala Harris, but Hunter Biden walking the parade route with his child. And then it got even worse when I saw him walking into the White House. And my heart goes out to all Trump supporters who had to see that scene. You remember Hunter Biden had the laptop that was going to bust it all wide open. That laptop will never see the light of day now. We will never know the crimes that Hunter Biden was truly involved in. That had to be, seriously, my deepest sympathies, because that has got to be, I mean, I hate it. I hate it. And I don't even care about Donald Trump as a person. I just do believe in, you know, the elite should pay a price for all their corruption. And Hunter Biden kind of at the top of that heap for the last year, and he was walking into the White House live on national television. Whew. We are going to have to learn how to laugh during the next year. And I know this is serious. Look, I absolutely am pretty concerned over what I'm already seeing. Don't know how much time we'll have to get into it today. I'm bringing in Nate Baker with Americans for Prosperity next hour. But I'm concerned about what's coming. I'm very concerned about this domestic terrorism law and this fight against political extremism, which apparently means anybody who likes Donald Trump or doesn't think Joe Biden is good or doesn't like the new shots or questions anything is some kind of an extremist. I'm very concerned about that. But look, we just wasted 4 years waiting for a white knight to ride in and save the day. And look at where we are right now. The only thing encouraging about what I saw yesterday is, like I say, I think I've got a lot of more fellow travelers now who will resist the government rather than just thinking that it has been overtaken by a benevolent force and will be used for good. It's just not going to happen. I say it over and over again. Change is not coming from the top down. It's coming from the bottom up. And so if there's any hope for us, it is that people start to understand this and start getting your community. I would start at the most basic community level. You better start tightening up. I'm going to talk to Nate Baker. They do a lot of stuff with the legislature. See if, is there any chance? I mean, Mississippi, unfortunately, we're a welfare state, a red state. A red state, a rock rib conservative state, unfortunately, is a welfare state. We haven't figured our way off of federal dependence. But it sure feels like there's going to come a day where we wish we had. I'll be right back.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, so in just any grasping attempt to try to find good news that came out of the inauguration of Joe Biden as our president, there were a couple things. One is maybe selfish. I think I've got some more people that will resist big government with me. You've resisted my resistance to big government because Donald Trump was in charge and you thought he was going to use his powers for good and free us all. It did not happen. But the other thing, and I like to think this is the last time I mention it, but I'm afraid it's not. I hope that those people who were parts of the Q movement or were the loyalists who believed that Donald Trump had these tricks up his sleeve and that he was doing these things behind this, I hope you abandon those beliefs now. And I'm afraid it's not. I actually went, this was kind of funny, I went to some of the Q sites yesterday just to see what they were saying. I saw one, there's a two presidents theory. Donald Trump dissolved the corporation that was America and bankrupted it. And actually, he is still the president of the United States. And Joe Biden is occupying the seat of the president of a country that can't do anything because it's bankrupt. Wow. That was quite a theory. But a lot of people seem to have come to some realization yesterday that you did not have a savior in the White House. You can support some of his policies. That's fine. And Trump did some good things. I will do the good, the bad, and the ugly. A look back at the Trump administration probably sometime next week. But you can like his policies, but the pedestal that Donald Trump as a human being was set on, instead of holding his feet to the fire on anything, and again, I watched that inauguration yesterday. I saw the stage littered with the swamp. People that were rumored to have been in Gitmo for the last 3 years. And I've kind of gone on a kind of a opposition trail on this show alone, taking the slings and arrows of saying, quit looking for this plan, this magic plan. It does not exist. A lot of people woke up to that yesterday. They held up hope until Joe Biden was actually sworn in. Now, many people have not given up hope. They think that the gears are still in motion and this thing is still going to pop any minute now, even under a Biden administration. I encourage you to just self-examine for just a second. And I'm not mad at anybody. I had hope, too. I voted for Donald Trump in 2016. But the Q movement got people to simply ignore all of the things Donald Trump was doing that were making this government bigger, making things worse, the Goldman Sachs. I won't go through the laundry list now, but everybody excused everything and said, it doesn't matter what we see on the surface, it's behind the scenes. This was kind of funny. On one of the forums for the Q people, I guess it's God Bless America One, this was one of the moderators, posted a thread counseling that POTUS has all caps, not let us down or failed. He has done all he could within his power and is now going to be handing it to the military to take from here, exactly as Q drop forecast, unquote. Uncertainty, the moderator added, would not be tolerated. I just found this a little almost comical. Quote, any dooming or negative comments clogging up the site pertaining to current situation will result in removal and ban if repeated. So you've got the Q people pulling a Jack Dorsey Twitter move. If you say anything, if you express any realization that this thing did not happen the way that Q told you it was going to happen for the last 3 years, they're going to ban you. And this is gone. You know, this is, I talk about the hypocrisy on the left is just dripping, right? Pretty easy to do. I don't spend a whole lot of time on it. Other people do it better than me, to be honest with you. And it's almost boring. It's just to point out every hypocrisy on the left is it's exhausting. It's exhausting. So I try to cover things here that aren't covered elsewhere instead and let other people do it better than I could do to point out the dripping hypocrisy on the left. But the right hypocrisy is just as funny to me. I watch people in comment sections. If anybody disagrees with them, they just go, all right, another one to add to my ignore list. And then they rail against Twitter, banning people and censoring the internet, but they want to seal themselves in a little bubble. Look, I'm just going to tell you again. There's no change coming from the top down. It's going to be from the bottom up. It doesn't matter if it's masks. It doesn't matter if it's the jab. It doesn't matter if it's business closures. It doesn't matter what it is. It's coming from the bottom up. I've been doing stories about Italy and Austria, France, that are rising up. 50,000 businesses, I can't remember if it was, I think that was in Italy, that just said, we are open. They started that hashtag. They didn't wait. They didn't think that they were going to elect some leader to lead them to the promised land. They just said, no, we're not closing our business anymore. We are open. That was the hashtag. 50,000 businesses. Imagine the Italian government trying to arrest 50,000 business owners for operating a legal business. It wasn't going to happen. So they are just going about with their lives. This is a lesson to be learned going forward. And I hope the Q movement has learned a lesson that this mysterious thing, I don't know who was behind it. I hope we find out at some point. I said it's equal opportunity profiteers and also actually a genius coordinated thing to make good, decent American patriots stand down for 4 years as we moved closer and closer to socialism and total federal government control. And now Joe Biden is going to take that massive apparatus and unleash it on us. Hopefully, people will not fall for that stuff again. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Thursday. Every Thursday from 9 to 10 o'clock, we bring in Americans for Prosperity representatives. Usually Stephen Utroska is in here, but he is, I guess, at the Capitol today doing his legislative duties. And so we have Nate Baker in here from Americans for Prosperity. Nate, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
So what's your role with Americans for Prosperity?
I work on the grassroots side, so I work to really build out that grassroots base and engage with everybody. So I just came on in November, and that's what we do. I work a lot with Cade, who I know has also been.
Right, yeah. He was here, I guess, week before last. I think Cade was in here, too. You got a great crop there. For everybody listening, Nate is who I wish I had been. How old are you, Nate?
25 now. Yeah.
25. You're so much – he's got a cute little wife, got – brand new baby, another one on the way, you're saying?
That's right. Yeah.
Another one on the way. And you're so much smarter than I was when I was 25 years old.
Well, we have the internet, so I don't give anybody.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. Maybe I did start to kind of free my mind early 2000s. So it was like maybe I wasn't, you know, the dial up wasn't quick enough for me, so I didn't get smart during dial up. But once we got really quick internet, that's when I started waking up. So I guess maybe if I had had it when I was young, but. Anyway, you're also, you know, a lot of you guys, I've gotten to know a lot of the younger guys kind of in this, you know, free market group of people. And it gives me hope. A lot of people don't encounter you. We always see on the national news is millennials and Gen Zers and stuff look like they've lost their mind and the social justice warriors. But you got a pretty good little generation there. You went to Mississippi State?
I did, yeah.
And did you – how was Mississippi State as far as your education and things like economics or anything like that? Did you find it to be – that what people think of the universities now as far left, or did you see it to be pretty fair?
Well, certainly, you know, universities do lean left, and that's including here in public universities in Mississippi. But I will say Mississippi State in particular has some really good staff, some really good free market people. I studied economics there, and there was, you know, just really solid staff there. They actually had an organization and some book clubs and things dedicated to that. So I had a great experience with that.
Yeah. And it's set you up for a pretty good career.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm happy with it. So
yeah.
And there's a lot. You know, a lot of people talk about the younger people these days are all crazy and left-wing, and they go get indoctrinated at university. And that's certainly the case for some people. But I would also say, you know, particularly Gen Z, they're starting to lean – they're more conservative than millennials even as far as a percentage of that generation. So it's trending that way. Huh. So there are some things to look forward to there.
Yeah. Well, you know, all of this stuff too – we got to hope it's a pendulum. You know, some of the just the, I mean, 2020, really, we just went off the rails. And I blame some of the lockdowns. You know, you deprive people of jobs. You make them really desperate. You put them in a situation where the entire society is driven by fear for a year. You're going to get some weird things popping out. That's the unintended consequences of what we've seen, the hysteria around this case-demic that we've got. And you feel like, you know, the pendulum does swing. That's one of the things that I kind of cling to. And, you know, hopefully as some millennials get older too, I mean, I've got friends and I'm much older than you, but you know, I've got friends that were pretty liberal in their 20s and then they became a doctor, you right. know, and they started right. paying taxes and they started seeing other things. And now, you know, one of my best buddies used to be very liberal and now he's a libertarian, you know, so there's always hope for those things. Hopefully the pendulum is going to be swinging. So with your grassroots, with AFP, what kind of things do you do? How do you reach? Are you targeting younger groups, or is this just across any demographic?
We target everybody. I mean, our goal is to have Mississippians who are aligned with us and share our values to have their voices heard and to be represented. And so that's everything that we do is orienting around that.
Yeah.
And so a lot of opportunities to get involved with us on various things, and that's what we really want to grow that base. And so a lot of people that are looking at, you know, they don't feel represented or they're not really sure how the process works. AFP exists to help bridge that gap.
Right.
And so that's what we want to do. That's what I'm focusing really my career at this point on.
Well, I think, you know, having Steven in here, I'll admit I do a show on national stuff largely. It's interesting to me, and it's basically almost like commenting on a bad soap opera. But we do have more effect on state politics probably than I would have even estimated. I just feel like the political class is out of touch at every level. But talking to Stephen, and I think now is a very important time that people start really getting involved in local communities. I'm talking about the sheriffs, the mayors, council people, state representatives, all of these people. So, you know, I hope people will use your resources and start realizing they have an impact at the state level.
And at the state level, you know, our representatives are far more in touch with their constituency.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good people there. And so, like, yeah, just because it's local and because you have some better people in many ways, I think you have a much better chance to have your voice heard.
Yeah.
And they want to hear from you, too.
And so just for anybody who hasn't listened to my segments with Stephen before, AFP, Americans for Prosperity, what are your visions for Mississippi? What are those things that matter to your group?
Yeah, so primarily we're about identifying barriers to a prosperous Mississippi and breaking those barriers. And so there's a lot of different, you know, we break it down into our priority initiatives that change from year to year, but they're still kind of on the same principles every year. And so, you know, in Mississippi, there's a lot of opportunity that we could seize in the healthcare space. You know, there's a lot of natural investment that comes here, yet there's a lot of barriers in the way. So certificate of need is something that I think you guys may have discussed
lot, yeah.
a lot. I mean, that's a huge one, right? There's a lot of service providers who would love to provide more medical services to Mississippians. You know, one that comes to mind is, you know, birthing centers is something that I care about a lot. If you look at surrounding states in every single, you know, major metropolitan area, there's several. But in Mississippi, we have none. And that's partly due to the certificate of need laws, where basically you have to, if you want to start a new hospital or serve the community a different way, you have to spend, I think, roughly $250,000 so that the other hospitals that already exist can then decide whether or not there's a need for your service. So what other industry do you have to get your competition to grant you the ability to compete with them? So
yeah, I can imagine our radio station going to all the other talk radio stations and going, hey, do you mind if we open up and start competing with you? I would imagine that.
Yeah, I don't think there's a need for you.
Yeah, I think we're covered. I think we're out there. So yeah, well, that's interesting with birthing centers. One of the things I'm passionate about is natural health type stuff, big into organic food and preventive care through nutrition. You cannot be a naturopath in Mississippi. I'd like to add that to your agenda, by the way. Take that back to the shop and let them know. Naturopaths are not allowed here. I've had to go, I haven't sought treatment, but I've gone to some things. I've had to go to Louisiana to learn more about naturopathic medicine because it's not allowed in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. And why do we have to, you know, have these barriers against any market regulation? That's what we really want to seek. You know, if there's a demand for it, there's no need to put these restrictions and these barriers in place.
Well, and, you know, with something like naturopathic medicine, it's like everything else. It's couched in this idea that they're protecting the public from people who don't, you know, who don't think like the state medical board does. You know, we can't have a bunch of people out there advising people that aren't, the traditional MD. It's always about those things when the market would decide. I mean, if a naturopath opens up here, it's interesting. There's one opened up in Nashville. A friend of mine was telling me about, and she kind of started, you know, we have some integrative medicine here, but it's not the same as naturopath. They opened up in Nashville. This woman is on a year waiting list for people to come in.
Right.
And this is several years into her practice. The market is saying this woman is providing something of tremendous value. She cannot handle the number of people that are coming to her.
Right. And just to dismiss that kind of demand as a bunch of idiots, I think is, you know, very insulting, and it's not necessary. And so, yeah, there's a lot to be gained having a market, having it free, and not having all these barriers in place that are keeping who knows what. I mean, there's a lot of unseen value that we would have today if it had not been for these barriers.
Right. Yeah. All right. We've got to take a quick break. I've got a couple of things I wanted to get over. I wanted to talk about I'm carrying on a thread from talking to Stephen. We've been talking about Kristi Noem. I'm really not happy about all this COVID overreaction and just bossing around. Look, educate me with every piece of advice you've got, and then let me make my own decisions is my idea. And I've been talking about Kristi Noem. I had a caller last week, but couldn't get him on the air about something about Kristi Noem that I found a little discouraging, although I still believe she's been a champion for her state when it comes to COVID. So I want to talk about that. And then you wanted to talk about, you've got Capitol Days coming up too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to talk about, this is Nate Baker with Americans for Prosperity. They've got an event coming up. We certainly want to let people know how to get involved and something like that. This is going to start mattering, I think, a lot more. As the federal government gets bigger and bigger, we need to start taking care of our own house first. We'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We're here with Nate Baker from Americans for Prosperity. So I wanted to take a look at Kristi Noem real quick. She just, I don't know, I don't talk about the rest of the week, but when Stephen's been in here, I kind of bring her up. Kristi Noem approached the state problem with coronavirus drastically different than Mississippi did. They never shut anything down. I don't know if they put any restrictions. Now, it might have been different on the county or city level or whatever, but as a governor, she basically said, hey, we got a bad bug going around. Everybody take your own precautions. You might want to wear a mask. You might want to socially distance. You might want to consider not getting in large groups. But you're free to do whatever you want to do for the most part. Again, I don't know if any mayors cracked down, but they were basically a state that just informed their citizens and let them go. The charts on coronavirus cases and deaths is almost exactly the same as New York that went full on lockdown, and better than, you know, Los Angeles that went full on lockdown. So she's been kind of a champion of mine. Had a caller the other day. Now, he never called me back. He called me on Friday, and I couldn't really get him on the air. But Kristi Noem is, she's leading the charge to oppose their marijuana legalization in the state. So it is another lesson. I say rule number one in politics, if you're a citizen and you're talking about politics, rule number one is never fall in love with a politician ever, because they will break your heart. So Kristi Noem is getting involved in the legal challenge to the marijuana legislation ballot initiative approved by South Dakota voters in November. Civil rights groups said the move adds to frustration being felt by voters in the current political environment. She issued a state executive order about this, challenging this. So I guess it just shows not every leader is she's good on one side and horrible on the other.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody's going to share all of your values and you know, priorities.
Right, right. But she set her people free, and I think she's a template. The statistics show that she is a bit of a template for what much of the other country should have done. I wanted to talk real quick about something that not necessarily within AFPs, but Cindy Hyde-Smith put out a statement yesterday after the inauguration of Biden that I wanted to bring up. I think this is a good time. She said, "I wish President Biden and Vice President Harris well as they undertake the serious challenges facing our beloved country. I'm committed to working with the new administration and my colleagues to find common ground solutions to defend our nation and to rebuild an economy damaged by a pandemic that continues to claim too many of our fellow citizens." This kind of standard stuff that you would expect from anybody when a new administration comes in. The thing that just struck me with that thing, and I think it's kind of to what your mission here is in Mississippi, is I think we give the political class too much credit and responsibility for building an economy, whether it's Donald Trump or Tate Reeves or Cindy Hyde-Smith, that they have this magic wand that if we can get the politicians working together and doing those right things, we can create jobs. When the simple fact of the matter, and has never been more apparent than 2020, it is in spite of politicians and bureaucrats and government service that we actually survive and build businesses.
Yeah, I mean, that's correct. I mean, that's why we talk so much about breaking barriers, and that's what we talk about, because that kind of puts the emphasis on where our society's prosperity actually comes from, which is the people.
The people.
And so, you know, the government, you know, they can do different programs, then they can try to, you know, stimulate the economy. But the truth is, the most successful states and the most successful economies are the economies where people are freest to trade and engage with each other, and those barriers aren't present.
And it's what built America.
It built us
into what we are right now. And I think it's really kind of a it's a modern thing to look at this micromanagement, targeting groups and stimulus checks here, or and I'll tell you where I think they're headed. I think they are going to be. We are headed towards. I think we're headed towards UBI. That is certainly coming down the pike. I think during the Biden administration, we're already seeing it really with the juiced up unemployment, some of this other stuff, and the. Do the kids call these the stimulus checks? I just learned last week they call them stimmies.
Stimmies, and it was Trump bucks, and there's always different shorthands for them. Yeah,
stimmies. So people are taking their stimmies and they're putting it in their Robinhood app and they're buying stocks.
They should be buying crypto.
Yeah,
to buying, hedge against the helicopter money.
Right, right. So, but yeah, I mean it's relatively new in American history that government feels like it comes in and has to force the. Force the economy one way or another, when the simple fact of the matter is, if they would just get out of the way. I mean, if you talk about removing taxation, removing regulations, and just let the people be, I can't even imagine what the potential of the United States economy would be.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm dedicating, you know, this part of my career to doing this in Mississippi, because we've identified a number of barriers, very tangible barriers that we have. There's barriers that states around us do not have. And you're seeing that result in their economies being more prosperous than ours. And there's no reason that Mississippi should have any additional barriers that these other states don't, whenever our economy is not as good as a lot of other states. And so, yeah, who knows where we would be at if we didn't have these barriers in place. You know, certificate of need is just one.
Right.
Tax spending, all kinds of regulations. The total net business tax here is 40% higher than the surrounding states if you add everything together. And so the question
I didn't know that.
Why? Yeah.
Wow.
It is.
Yeah, that's bad. Well, and this is at a time where I think 2020 could have been just a boom year for Mississippi, or heading into 2021, when you've got people trying to move out of these high tax states. I mean, they've gone crazy in New York and California and Chicago, and people are looking to relocate. They're flooding into Nashville, Tennessee, no state income tax. They're flooding into Texas, no state income tax. I know that's something kind of on the docket for this year, maybe getting rid of Mississippi state income tax. But they also, those states had very low regulations on the COVID stuff. They didn't shut their businesses down or were the first ones to reopen and give their people freedom back. And I think Mississippi should have really tried to get on that bandwagon while people are looking for a new place to be.
And there's still time, because I think that's going to continue to happen. And I think that, you know, just broadly, there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of companies that are looking for a place that they can trust. They're looking for stability. And,
right.
And Mississippi is certainly not the worst in that way. But there's a lot of things we've identified. You know, we can go in and make some real grassroots efforts so that, you know, our legislators know the people of Mississippi have identified these things. We want to get rid of these barriers. We want to make Mississippi a place that's more welcome, so that a lot of this organic investment will actually just come to Mississippi. There's a lot of companies that have tried to move to Mississippi, or at least open up a store in Mississippi. And because of some law in the books, of various reasons, they decide they won't. So you'll see, you know, I look at Trader Joe's. You know, it's in Alabama. It's in these other states. They don't come to Mississippi because we have alcohol laws on the books. And they say, look, you know, our formula that works for Trader Joe's, our brand, requires that we sell these products there. And if we can't do that in the state of Mississippi, we're not going to open up in the state of Mississippi. And that's just a small example. But there's a lot of companies like that, a lot of banks that are like that. So you just have to wonder, what are all these companies? They want to come to Mississippi. There's people here that they would like to you know, transact with. They would like to have that business. But yet they don't, and there's a number of reasons why. So being able to identify what those reasons are and being able to remove those will certainly lead to more economic opportunity here.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, things like that Trader Joe's, those things fly under the radar. We don't know what we're missing out on because they're not really talked about. And all of the focus is put on – and God love the Nissan plan. I mean, great jobs, great facility, but we focus on these – you know, some of these two or three really big projects. I love the fact that Continental has opened up a new plant here, but we focus on that one employer that's going to employ 1,500 people.
That's it.
Put all our energy into that, cheerlead for it, tax breaks and everything. While
there's
we're
a nice
stopping.
Ribbon cutting ceremony.
Right.
It looks good.
Great photo op for politicians. You know, they can't run around to every Trader Joe's or every hair braider that can open up easier in Mississippi. That's not a photo op for them. But that's where the real jobs are these small
right.
local people.
Yeah. Right. And then just the number of larger companies that would invest if these barriers weren't there, that wouldn't require some special deal or some special, you know, whatever, trying to get this one offer, two or three plants here, you would have a lot more organic growth. You know, you drive around a lot of these other cities and, I mean, there's Nissan plant level things everywhere.
Right.
I mean, you just
yeah.
drive in the, you know, outside of Dallas or something like that. I mean, it's just massive. And that's all happened organically. That's not because, you know, the Texas politicians lobbied a bunch of companies to come to Texas.
Right. They came to Texas because Texas is a business-friendly place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Jackson, you know, Jackson needs so desperately to become very business-friendly. I mean, I think they are really heading down a very bad – I've had dealings with you know, City Hall in Jackson that were just abhorrent. And there's some good people down there. You always just kind of cross your finger and hope you get one of the good people. But they're tough on businesses, and they're, you know, like they can't get out of their own way. All right, when we come back, let's talk about Capital Days. When is this taking place?
This will be next Wednesday, the 27th. It'll be a luncheon. It's an opportunity for you guys listening now to come meet us, meet our team, see what we're about, and have an opportunity to have a lunch with us, and then we'll go talk to legislators and we'll coach you up on how to do that. But it's a great opportunity for you guys to get involved. I know a lot of people, they're looking like, I want to get involved. You know, signing up online is one thing, but this is an opportunity for you to come meet us and get involved.
Yeah. Do people have to come down there with any particular issue? Like, you know, you're concerned about one thing or another, and you go see one legislature about a particular issue, or how does...
Yeah, I mean, legislators want to hear from you about what you care about, but if you've, you know, listened to this hour in AFP and know what we're about, that's what we're going to be advocating for, and we'll talk to you about what we're working on, some of the specific bills that we have that we're working on. and issue areas and what we're looking at, and equip you with the tools you need to go have those conversations. This isn't a rally. This isn't anything crazy.
Right.
This is something we do every year.
Yeah.
And it's just a respectful way to engage in the process.
So you'll be open carry and all that.
No.
That's not what you're looking for down
there.
That's
not what we're looking for.
This is actually just a thing. All right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about that. And can we get into also what some of your agenda for 2021 is? We talked, Stephen and I talked last week about some bills that were coming out, some good, some concerning, but you've got something that you kind of push along the way outside of just judging what they are proposing. Does AFP actually put together ideas for bills or something and try to champion them through sponsors?
Yeah, you know, Stephen does a lot of that work at the Capitol. We have our priority initiatives that we talked about, and those are kind of the principles by which we evaluate different bills. There's things that we'd like to see. There's things that we definitely don't want to see. Right now, a lot of the bills are getting put into committee this week. And so we're going to learn more about those this week. And certainly by next week at our Capitol Day, we'll have a lot more information to share with everybody about, you know, what's moving through.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk about some of those when we come back. We're talking to Nate Baker with Americans for Prosperity. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we're here with Nate Baker from Americans for Prosperity and our Freedom and Prosperity Hour that we do every Thursday. Nate, you had mentioned last segment that Mississippi has a higher corporate tax rate. I've owned businesses in Mississippi, and I was thinking about it just now during the break. I guess everything I've owned has either been a subchapter S or LLC, so it was all pass-through income to me, so it was taxed as ordinary income. What is the difference in Mississippi's corporate tax rate than other states?
It's not just the corporate tax rate. It's a number of taxes that businesses pay across all of our localities that is higher when you look at that group of taxes than other states that surround us.
So what? Like so what?
Like 6.5% versus, I think, 4 in a lot of other states. So that's a significant margin when you're looking at the difference, especially for larger companies looking at the total cost of their business.
Right.
And you just have to ask, okay, well, why Mississippi when we're trying to improve things? Why would we have a burden that's higher than these other states? Like there's a lot of successful models. So why are we not doing everything we can to reduce those barriers?
Is Mississippi at all caught in the trap that I see in your Chicago or your Illinois and your New Yorks where they ratchet up taxes, chase businesses away, their tax revenue falls because they chase their employers away. So to make up the shortfall, instead of retreating from that, they ratchet up taxes more, chase more businesses away. I mean, they are in this vicious cycle in these really liberal states, and I would assume as a red state, but I'm sure we've got our own. We're not the worst in the country budgetarily. I have kind of looked at our rankings. We're not in stellar shape, but we're not the worst. Are we in that kind of thing where they're trying to raise revenue through taxation rather than attract more businesses through less taxation?
It certainly seems that way. I try not to get in the heads of people when they're making decisions that I don't understand. I mean, I always do wonder, you know, if things haven't been working for a long time, why would we continue to enact more of the same policies that haven't had good results? And so, yeah, it certainly could be the case. That's definitely the trend that governments tend to see taxing as, you know, a tool, and they just increase that without thinking. They think about things very much as a static. Like if I do this,
right.
If I raise taxes by this amount, this is the revenue we have right now, it will go up by this amount.
But and don't course, account for the fleeing.
Right, people yeah. will adjust their behaviors accordingly, which is why, you know, not all tax rates, even some in many cases higher tax rates, lower the total amount of tax revenue. So sometimes
right.
lower taxes increase tax revenue.
Well, plus, I mean, the other side of this, is this not ever figured out? The more businesses you attract with lower taxes, theoretically, you would think, the fewer services you have to provide to people who are unemployed or other social services that you might have to give to people. When they've got jobs, they become self-reliant, and the government really doesn't need to provide anything for them outside of, you know, basic infrastructure stuff, which even I think that's too much. But
right.
but But you know, I mean, it seems like that's a savings to the government for every job that's created. So that should be goal number one, is to make a business-friendly environment. Is that just not figured in?
Yeah, I don't think it's figured in. I think it just depends on, you know, what the decision makers are and what they're looking at the individual level. I don't think, you know, it's making big decisions for the whole state as a whole. I think that, you know, we look at a state like Florida or Tennessee or Texas, and they just have a much bigger pie because they have an environment that's growing the economy. So they can take a smaller rate of that much bigger pie and end up with way more resources to fund these other things that they're trying to fund by raising taxes.
Yeah. Well, I always like the story of the Renaissance. You know, years ago, I'm older than you, before you were really cognizant, you know, Cleveland was in really, really bad shape at one point. You know, a lot of cities in the Rust Belt reinvented themselves and started doing things. And so, you know, that's always a possibility out there to do those kinds of things. And it just seems like Mississippi is ripe for something. And
I think it is.
You know, you can look at some states, Florida, I mean, they've got beaches, they've got a lot of tourism, they've got some things that Mississippi doesn't have. But when you start looking at things like Tennessee and Nashville and some towns in Texas that have grown so significantly over the years, it just doesn't seem like there's a difference between them and us. I mean, we got the same climate, we've got the same demographics, we've got just about everything they've got. To be left behind by those, it just seems unnecessary.
It is. I lived in Raleigh, North Carolina for a while. They don't have beaches in Raleigh. They don't have the mountains in Raleigh, yet it's a very prosperous town with a lot of cool things going on. And that's because there's just less barriers. There's a lot of people right now who are waiting to do things in Mississippi once these barriers are gone. It's going to attract that. I know that's an automatic function. I believe in our society and people enough to know that if there was a way for them to do it without incurring these costs that make it not worth it for them, we would see a lot more growth here. And, you know, I am optimistic about the future. I am young. I have started my family here. I'm a native of Mississippi. And, you know, I wouldn't be here if I didn't think we had a real chance to turn things around and make Mississippi into a much more prosperous place. I think that you're right. You have to be able to look at these other places that have turned it around. I mean, even New York City, from what I understood in the 90s, was not at all what it was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was pretty bad.
I think it was the 80s where – yeah, 80s, early 90s was when it really, really got bad. Yeah.
And then it's like one of the safest cities. So, like, things like that.
And it's right back down the crapper now.
Well, yeah. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, and we should certainly capitalize on that. People are, you know, at a very unprecedented level looking at other places. And there's a lot of people that Mississippi would not be the worst place to move. They probably aren't considering it now. But for those that are considering it, we don't want to give them any reason to not choose Mississippi if they otherwise would.
Right, which just goes back to the fact that it is not it's a political class that goes out in front of their constituents and talks about creating jobs and talks about they are the solution to things. But when you back up and take a look at it, there are companies butting up against that political class constantly that want to come here and actually open businesses, and they are hampering that from happening.
Yeah, I mean, is the Texas state legislature the reason why the Texas economy is strong? I think everybody understands that's not the case.
Right, of course.
And so we just need to understand that about our state as well. And we have a lot of good people in the legislature who do understand that, and they want to get rid of these barriers too, which is why, you know, next week at our Capitol Day is a great opportunity for you guys to meet some of those people, to talk to your legislators, to show them that, you know, these are the things that we want. There's a voice here. There's a constituency here that really cares about this. Yeah. And it'll be young people and the more wise among us as well. We'll all be there. So it's a good community. I think anyone who's aligned with these values and principles will really enjoy meeting our community and seeing what we're about.
Yeah. What are the parameters of, are you having to make adjustments for COVID? Are there set number of places or anything like that?
I mean, seats are limited. We are doing whatever we can to accommodate the largest number of people, make sure that everyone's safe. We're going to be socially distanced out in a large space. But, you know, we do want to have in-person events. We do want to be able to, you know, there's something important about showing up and talking to legislators and not just living in the virtual world. So we are doing that, but we are taking precautions to make sure that we're as accommodating as possible.
Yeah, and this is one of those things really that, I'm learning more about it just from really talking to y'all. This is probably these kinds of events, and Stephen has said y'all are pretty much available anytime while the legislature's in session. If somebody has an issue they want to go
absolutely
to, that you will take them down there and introduce them to their legislator or whoever needs to be
and
spoken to.
And walk you through the process of how to do it. I know it's very intimidating for a lot of people. It seems very overwhelming. It's really not. We can walk you through that whole process. We can get you to meet with them and talk with issues that you care about with them for sure. That's what we exist to do. That's what I'm doing is growing up that base.
Yeah.
So you can always go to volunteerms.com to get plugged in. For Capitol Day, you can always, probably the easiest way is to find us on social media, on our Facebook, Americans for Prosperity Mississippi. You can join our groups that way. You can find the event there. You can also just Google AFP Mississippi Capital Day. It'll be the top result right there for you to get plugged in.
Right.
And we want to see you. We want to hear from you.
And the thing that's striking about that is, you know, we can get, you know, 5, 10, when it was Trump was here, you know, 25,000 people at a rally for, what, 12 hours. They'll stand in line and wait and try to get good seats and all that stuff for a guy that's going up to Washington, D.C., which in my estimation, after watching the last, is just completely lost. Or people can take, you know, 30 minutes to an hour to go to their own state capital and actually do something for their own lives. And yet the bigger, flashier thing usually gets the attention when it probably should be your more local stuff.
Yeah, and if you look at, you know, there's a bill that you care about, there's an issue you care about, and we're working on a bill to get that through so that the legislature understands. I mean, that's a real tangible thing you can be proud of. Like, I had my voice heard on this thing, and I tangibly helped change this policy that's made Mississippi a better place, a more welcoming place for business, a place where I have more opportunities to do things. That's far more exciting to me than hearing a, you know, charismatic person give a talk
right,
for a while.
Right, exactly. I'm on record saying I'm not a big fan of political speeches at all. They are just that, the words. Are there any bills in particular that you guys are working on right now that you'd like people to come by and support, or that people should know about so that they know it's through the process, so they can, you know, call a legislator and get them on board with it? Are there things that are, you know, kind of the top list of your priorities?
There are a few. We're going to know a lot more next week, because right now those bills are being sent out to the committees in the House and the Senate. And so certainly by next week we'll have a much better idea. But yeah, there's a lot of different issues that we've talked about here before that are really being reintroduced, and some new ones as well.
Yeah. Okay. How responsive do you think the Mississippi legislators are to citizens coming by?
They want to hear from you. It's a small thing that matters a lot. It makes a big impact showing up in person, because think about it. I mean, most people, like even listening to this right now, I mean, they've never been to the Capitol. They've never
talked. I haven't.
Right. And most people haven't. And so understanding that means when you go, that actually does make an impact, because so few people do it. And a lot of legislators want to know. They want to know, hear from their constituents, because they don't really interface with their constituents that much. I mean, they may try, but it's not, you know, especially with COVID, it's much more difficult to do. And so showing up really does send a signal that, yeah, I do care about this. And you're kind of showing them there's an opportunity for them to help you on something that you care about. And they're usually in line. There's a lot of good people at the legislature that are very receptive to it. We have some policy champions at AFP that are really principled people who are doing good work every year.
Is there anywhere on any of your websites or anything where people can kind of track what's being introduced, you know, so they know what's coming, if there's something they want to oppose? I mean, I'll tell you right now, I think Stephen said 3,000 bills get introduced within the legislature.
Yeah,
and about 160, something like that, make it through committees and all that. That's very daunting for the average citizen to keep up with. But is there some kind of a tracker where you can kind of see what's coming around that people might want to champion or oppose?
Yeah, we'll keep you updated if you follow us on social media throughout the session on what our priorities are, what we're working on for sure. And things can change very quickly, so we provide updates that way. And then if you get plugged in and volunteer with us, we can keep you updated as well if you go to volunteermS.com and get plugged in.
What do you think 5,000 Mississippians who came together and can put continual pressure on the legislature to get some of these kinds of things done, just 5,000 people in a state of 3 million, what kind of impact would that have?
I think it would have a lot of impact, because that 5,000 represents far more than that 5,000.
Right.
And so if that's an indicator that there's a real appetite here to get some of these changes done. So it does matter a lot.
Well, I mean, typically how many people would a legislator hear from as the bill's going through process?
I mean, it depends on the legislator and you know, what relationship they have with their constituency. But, you know, as far as real personal attempts to reach out, it's not common. It's not common at all.
Right. So they're basically usually hearing from nobody or, you know, just a few people here or there.
A few people.
Yeah. 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 And we just kind of wait to see what we got. Unless it's the flag, the tag. There's a couple of things. I just remember, you know, I remember when I was kind of waking up to politics and realizing that we had some big problems. I was starting to study the national debt, and I was starting to realize these endless wars were bad. And I was seeing these things with America and thinking, ugh, this is not trending in the right direction. Here in Mississippi, we had two things going on. It was the changing the mascot at Ole Miss, getting rid of Colonel Reb, and the do not call list. And I tell you what, people were up in arms about both of those. They wanted the do not call list. It was just the biggest thing going around, and they wanted the mascot at Ole Miss. Regardless of what it, I mean, I don't blame anybody for having an opinion on the mascot at Ole Miss. But I just remember thinking, God, there's so many important things going on right now that are terrible. And this is what people are, I mean, it was the, both of those things simultaneously were big issues.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. And that's the thing. I mean, I believe that these other issues, the big reason why it's not seen as much of a movement around these things that are, you know, more important, it's just that people don't understand or it gets right. very complicated, and people say, well, I don't really know about that. But, you know, I went to Ole Miss, and this was you know, part of my experience there, so I really do care about that.
Yeah.
And cultural issues matter to a lot of people, but these economic issues matter a lot too, and have a real tangible opportunity for you and your children here to have a better future because we've made real progress on these policies.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I got to tell you, I'm discouraged, and I know you're young and optimistic and idealistic, and I think there's a good case for that. You get old, you get a little cynical and jaded and all that stuff, but the national scene right now is really pretty discouraging, but it has made me think a lot more about the local and that Mississippi needs to take care of itself. And right now we're a welfare state. We take too much federal money. We've got to get out from under that because there may be a lot of conditions put on that going forward if you have a government that keeps growing like it does in the federal level.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that generally it's probably wise at this point to look at what you can control, look at your local communities, and rally around that because we can't be thinking about what the, you know, the federal government's going to do for us or really any government. And I think this year is kind of woken people up to that. I think there's a lot of good silver linings that are going to come out of this ultimately because I think a lot of people are looking at, well, what can I do in my community, in my state, on the more local levels to make things better instead of, you know, fighting this very vitriolic like federal arguments about policy.
Right.
I think that a lot of people just kind of recognize that, you know, well, we have good people here and we can do what we, you know, reinforce what we care about here instead of having to worry about people and the rest of the nation. And maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, it's kind of like in the Great Depression, a lot of people made fortunes during that time. As terrible as it was, wiped out a lot of people, but it was a chance for some people who took some different paths and different initiatives to really shine and set themselves up going forward. You know, Mississippi could be like that. If we have real problems at the federal level, but we actually do something here that's unique, this is my problem with kind of a missed opportunity on where we should have been to attract these people moving. But like you say, it's not too late. This is a chance for Mississippi to kind of leapfrog some other, because some states are going to have some serious problems with what they just went through in 2020, and it seems like they are continuing to do in 2021. We may have a chance to leapfrog some of these people and set ourselves up for better times. So
certainly.
All right, got to take a quick break. We'll come back one more segment with Nate Baker from Americans for Prosperity. Stay with us.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment here with Nate Baker from Americans for Prosperity. We're talking about Capital Days. This is your chance to go down and let AFP, Americans for Prosperity, kind of guide you around, show you what the legislature is about, and let you voice your opinions or get in touch with your legislator, let him put a face with an actual voter. So what's the process? Somebody wants to go down there, is interested in getting involved from start to finish. Where do they sign up? Then where are they going to go and all that stuff?
Yeah, so you can find the event. It's the 2021 AFP Mississippi Capital Day. If you put that into Google, they'll take you to the website landing page. You can also find it on our Facebook. If you find Americans for Prosperity Mississippi on Facebook, the event will be right there. Give us a like, give us a follow as well to stay plugged into what we're doing. It's going to be at the old Capital Inn downtown. So all the rest of that event information will be on that page.
So you go to the old Capitol Inn, and then you head down to the Capitol itself?
Yeah, registering with us, and so we can accommodate you for our lunch in there. And then we'll have a talk, we'll share a meal, we'll talk about AFP, what our priorities are, some of those more specific bills that are moving through, and some basically help coach you on how to talk to your legislators.
Is this a come and go type thing, or is it a be there at a certain time and then y'all go as a group to the Capitol?
It's more of a be there at a certain time. We understand it's a work day. We understand that, you know, we have to accommodate people. But the idea, you know, is we will have that lunch and then we will go as a group down and help you guys, you know, navigate the Capitol, which can be a little bit complicated, especially with COVID and everything.
Yeah. So what time does it start?
It'll be starting at 11 a.m. And it'll conclude at about 2 p.m. We'll be at the gallery at the end to observe the House session that afternoon.
Okay. And so somebody doesn't really have an issue, they don't really know what's going on, this is just a good informative thing to get them familiar with
Absolutely.
The Capitol in the first place?
Absolutely. And hear more about what AFP is about and what we're looking at this year.
Yeah. All right. If somebody can't make that, tell us real quick. We only got about a minute left, but how can they find Americans for Prosperity online?
Go to volunteerms.com to get involved. You can also follow us on social media. Facebook's the easiest, Americans for Prosperity Mississippi. And that's the easiest way to get in touch with us. And you can also send us a message on Facebook as well. We'll respond to that. Quickly.
You send out tweets and stuff too.
All we do have AFP_MS is our Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So people can certainly get involved and follow what you're doing. I appreciate you coming in today. Go and fight the good fight. After this, will there be any other Capitol Days, or is this a one-time-a-year event?
It's a one-time-a-year event, but we have a number of other events we'd like to do throughout the year, particularly as this pandemic slows down, if it ever
does. Hopefully. Knock on wood.
If it ever does. And yeah, we think that in-person events and engaging with the community is very important, and so that's something that we do as much as we can.
Do y'all need volunteers, too, for things?
Always. Okay. Whatever actions we're doing, we want you guys to help us.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's Nate Baker, Americans for Prosperity, all out of time. See you next time. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.